We are very fortunate to have a number of exceptional people, extraordinary people, wise people on the program with us often. And I don't think there's anyone else on the planet who can speak more articulately, eloquently, factually about what has been done to the Catholic Church than Father Paul Cramer. And Father Cramer is back with us tonight from Ireland. Father Cramer, can you hear me okay? You there?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Very good. I hope you had a nice and happy and peaceful Christmas. These are not nice, happy, peaceful times. So to set that apart and get it out of people's consciousness so they can try to be at least at peace with themselves for a little while is not easy. And anyway, I hope you had a nice time. Was it okay?
Yes, we're headed for very, very difficult times also.
Yes, sir.
We can indeed thank God that we did have a good, peaceful Christmas.
Good. Here are a couple of quick stories before we jump into the main course. Catholic priest wearing rainbow stole, as in his garments. This guy had a full rainbow head to toe. It was obscene. Gives blessing to women civilly, a civil marriage, for 22 years. So they were apparently just a non-official marriage. Not that you have to be officially married to be dedicated to somebody. But here's a Catholic priest wearing the rainbow, administering his responsibilities. Here's another one. Chinese bishop faithful to Rome, maybe he's talking about the pre-Bergoglio Rome, arrested again by communist authorities. So they're doing their thing. How badly damaged is the church at this point? We know where it's going. We know where Bergoglio is taking it. We know what the international globalists want. Where are we with the Catholic Church about now? What would you say? Let me just add one more thing. It seems to me as a lay person that the Vatican has essentially been overthrown. I'll just say that as an opening remark. Go ahead, please, Father Cramer.
Well, that is exactly what has taken place. It happened by stages, but it was completed. The overthrow was completed with the coup d'etat that took place with the removal of Pope Benedict XVI and the installation of Jorge Bergoglio. There is a war going on in the church at the present time. Entire bishops' conferences, like there's one in Eastern Europe, another in Africa, entire bishops' conferences are resisting the decree that was approved by Bergoglio and signed by Cardinal Fernandez, Tucho Fernandez, they call him,
mm-hmm.
For the authorizing the blessings of same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was what I mentioned, the guy wearing his rainbow robes. He's up there blessing two women. Never.
Now, this is entirely contrary to the law of God. It's against both testaments. It's a practice clearly condemned in both testaments. It's against the law of God. The church has for 2,000 years taught that such unions are sinful.
Right.
And not just sinful, but abominable.
I would concur. It's a correct word.
It's an abomination, and for a priest to bless the union, to bless these couples, the priest is committing a sacrilegious abomination if he does this.
Isn't he basically, by blessing them, setting a precedent or helping to set the new precedent that that's okay? That's what he's doing.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. Bergoglio is a practitioner of gradualism. So the revolution it doesn't completely invert the values all at once, but by stages. So it began in 2021, when the question came up, could homosexual unions, homosexual couples be blessed? The answer was given, no, sin cannot be blessed. Now, with the synod this past October, laid the groundwork for the decree that came out, and with that decree, now the Vatican had reversed itself entirely and said these couples can be blessed, and Fernandez is now engaged in the worst kind of hypocritical sophistry, trying to justify the Vatican's position. And it's saying that it is not the union that is being blessed, but just the persons, the couple. Now this is absolute nonsense, because what makes people a couple? It's the union that makes them a couple. If a married couple comes in to be photographed, the photograph would be a photograph of a couple.
Right.
Now, if the husband or the wife now would like to be photographed with the priest, that's a photograph of two men. If his wife wants to be photographed with the priest, that's a woman and a man. But that's only one photograph of a couple, husband and wife. They're a couple. The priest and the husband are not a couple. The priest and that man's wife are not a couple. They're just two people. Mm-hmm. They're just two people being photographed. So out of the three photographs, only one is a couple, because there is something that there is a principle that unites them, that makes them a couple. It is the union between the husband and wife that makes them a couple. It is the union between two perverts of the same sex that make them a parody of a couple, that makes them a couple of sorts.
They mock the whole thing, you bet.
That's right. So Fernandez is just playing with words and attempting to justify perversity, moral perversion. So now this is the most absolute low point the Vatican has ever reached in all the history of the Church, that they are justifying and blessing moral perversion. This has never happened before.
Justifying, blessing it, they're promoting it, they're endorsing it. They couldn't be any more activist about it, really. Sickening.
So now you have bishops speaking out, some of them very loudly, and entire bishops' conferences rejecting this decree from Rome. And Bergoglio, of course, is you can imagine his response with the traditionally minded priests and lay people in the United States. He's very angry with them. He's been railing against them, because he did not expect such opposition, and he's become unhinged. He's lost his patience with them. This is another example of that. Now Fernandez comes out with another a letter, whereas with the decree it was said no further comment is needed. These are the measures to be followed. When the decree is rejected, Fernandez has come out with another letter, even filled with sophistry, saying that, and making a point to say that the bishops may not reject entirely. They may not reject in principle what has been ordered in this decree. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the comment I've made in a very public way is that Bergoglio and Fernandez are now clearly, very publicly separating themselves from the Catholic bishops, because the Catholic it's Catholic bishops, those who are of the Catholic faith, what those who profess and believe what the Catholic Church has always professed mm-hmm. regarding the law of God, they are the ones who are defending the Catholic teaching against the so-called Pope and his cardinal prefect. And that just underscores the fact that it is Bergoglio, it is Fernandez. They are the ones who have defected and left the Catholic Church mm-hmm. because the Catholic bishops remain Catholic, and they refuse to accept this decree to bless perversion. So there's a war. There's a war going on at present.
Well, all right. Let's follow this line of thinking a little further. Can the bishops mount a successful challenge to the perverted corruption that has taken over the Vatican? I'm talking about groups of bishops from various continents around the world, like Archbishop Vigano, yourself, and others. Can you do it? Are there practical and pragmatic grounds that a real confrontation can be created between the real Catholics, you people, and the perverts in the Vatican?
My own position is that in order to do that, they must acknowledge the fact that Bergoglio is a defector from the Catholic Church. He's an outsider. He's an alien. The doctrine is explained by Pope Innocent III back in the early 13th century. If the Pope were to become a heretic, he could be judged and condemned and removed. That the Pope could be judged by no one but God, except if he falls into heresy. Mm-hmm. He can be judged because he can be shown to be already judged and condemned by God.
Right.
Because he does not believe is already condemned. So that's the teaching of Pope Innocent III, and it has been followed by, commented on, explained by some of the greatest theologians in church history, mm-hmm. St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Alphonsus Liguori. Pope Gregory XVI explained it based on the teaching of the great jurist and theologian, Father Pietro Ballerini. So this has been the church's doctrine all along, that for someone like Bergoglio, as Ballerini explained, the church's canons do not allow a pope to be judged by anyone for any crime, except if he should deviate from the faith and fall into heresy. For which reason, he would fall from the papacy. He would fall from the papacy automatically because of his heresy. He would lose the primacy, and therefore he can be judged by the church.
Well, now, go ahead, finish, please.
Bergoglio, as the case can be made, and I have made it in my book, is not a question here of Bergoglio falling from the papacy. He never was a valid pope. Benedict was the pope.
Right.
Benedict was the pope. Bergoglio was the intruder. He manifested himself to be a very obstinate heretic, The man is not a Christian in any sense of the word, just in some vague sense. There is some window dressing to camouflage the fact that this man is essentially an atheist.
To make a quick parallel, you can't impeach Joe Biden because he's not a legal president. It was a fraud election. Yet the people allowed it. It's like they're allowing Bergoglio. He's a fraud, too. So I get the point. Go ahead.
The hierarchy must, first they must acknowledge to themselves and to the Catholic people that this man is not a pope, because the church can take action against a man who is not a pope. But if you say this man is the pope, you're saying that he possesses from God the fullness of power, the total fullness of supreme power, the full and absolute jurisdiction over the whole church. And in that case, what can you do against a man who possesses the full and absolute jurisdiction over the whole church? You can't do anything.
Understood.
But if he's a heretic, and he's very obviously a heretic, then it is clear that the man is not a valid pope. Or if these, even a man would be under grave suspicion of heresy, that would make his hold on the papacy doubtful. The validity of his pontificate would be doubtful. And the church has jurisdiction over a doubtful pope. And it's only
Father Kramer, excuse me. When you say the church has jurisdiction, define the church as you're using it there. Considering that the Vatican's been overthrown, the church. I'm trying to get back to my original suggestion. Could these be groups of very powerful bishops from around the world? Would that, in point of fact, be the existing church now?
Yes, the bishops. The bishops as the head of the church, for example, is a local church, is a diocese. The bishop of the diocese, the priests under him, and the Catholic lay people under them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is what makes up a church, and a local church. The universal church is under the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome is the local Church of Rome. The Bishop of Rome, who is the Pope, the Roman clergy, and the people of the Archdiocese of Rome and the Suffragan diocese under the Archdiocese of Rome. That's the Roman Church, but the Roman Church has jurisdiction over the whole church, and so usually when we speak of that's the highest authority in the church, we're talking about the Church of Rome. However, if there is no pope, then if the monarchical rule of the church breaks down, the governance breaks down, as is explained by Pope Gregory XVI, then the church reverts to the aristocratic form of government. So it's the aristocracy of the bishops who govern the church when there is no papal rule. For some reason, the papal rule of the church is no longer, papal governance is no longer possible, then the church reverts to a more primitive form of government, which is the aristocratic rule, the rule of the church, the governance of the church by the bishops. So when
That's
I say the
was,
church,
yes,
the church would have jurisdiction, it would be the bishops. The bishops gathered in a council, especially, would be the most perfect form of exercising that kind of governance in the absence of the possibility of having a pope rule over the church.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. That was what I was trying to get at earlier. Could not the bishops and the people who form and compose the church members, 1.2 billion of them, can they not rise up and negate the ill-gotten gains and misdirection and evil of the Vatican? They've got to rise up. That's seemingly to me some the Vatican could call it disobedience, whatever they want. But there has to be a way to come up and oppose this and declare it to be null and void and incompetent, not unlike the 25th Amendment and the American Constitution, when a president is no longer competent to exercise the office, he or she can be removed immediately. There must be some uprising like this, or the church is forever lost, or nearly forever lost.
Well, up until recently, the bishops were just too timid to do something like that.
Yeah, those days are over. They can't be that way. They've got to take a firm stand.
Even Cardinal Raymond Burke is so obsequious in referring to Bergoglio as the Holy Father, the Pope.
No good. Sorry to hear that.
But now, this decree of Tucho Fernandez is the game changer. Now you have, for example, there was a priest who came out and responded by saying that Bergoglio is not a valid pope. I forgot the priest's name, but a priest in Italy preached his sermon explaining that Bergoglio is not a valid pope, and within 24 hours he was excommunicated.
Oh my. They got rid of him real quick. That's almost assassination in a way, so to speak. They just took him
There's
out.
A good number of priests that's happened to already, but they are not they are completely unfazed by that because they know that this man is not the head of the Catholic Church, that he's the head of a different religion, of a different church, a counterfeit church that they are attempting to erect in the place of the Catholic Church.
Right.
So they have no fear of being excommunicated, nor do I have. I have no fear whatever of being excommunicated by them because I don't belong to their church. I'm a Catholic. I am not of the Synodalist Reformed Church of Bergoglio.
Got it. Right. Well, I hope there will be an awakening to that very fact, and at least at some kind of an amalgamation of all the bishops who will not sit still for this. If there's anything I can do to help, this needs to happen. They've got to wake up and they've got to assert themselves and they've got to reject the dogma being spewed by the fake church coming out of the Vatican now. They've got to reject it. If it requires fragmenting the church into two pieces, so be it. They cannot submit to this kind of tyranny. That's my view, and I'm not a Catholic. I'm just a lay person, like I said.
That is exactly what is going to happen. And I've seen this coming for a long time. And is Bergoglio himself, with this decree, Bergoglio and his right-hand man, Tucho Fernandez, they have now created that situation that where the critical mass is going to develop among the bishops to reject this man, Bergoglio.
Good. They have to. That's the only way it's going to happen, obviously. I got something from one of our listeners, thank you, and you wrote a post 13 hours ago. Never in history did bishops oppose a pope's decree because it was heretical and immoral. Entire bishops' conferences resist Bergoglio's depravity. Is it Tucho or Tucho?
Tucho.
Tucho Fernandez replies saying, the bishops may not resist. It has never happened in all history that a true pope was resisted for decreeing heresy and depravity. But Catholic bishops are standing up against the usurping heretic. and that's a post from Father Kramer. Yes, this has to happen. I'd love to, if I can help in any way, publicity-wise, I will. This is wrong. It's got to be dealt with. And you will be one of the leaders of such a movement, as it should be.
The battle has broken out.
Good. Good. For all of you listening, just think of the current Pope, the alleged Pope, and the current state of the Vatican is being like the World Economic Forum. These people are not interested in religion. They're interested in control. It's all about control. And I'm sure that Bergoglio has very strong ties to the World Economic Forum. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The WEF and other groups, occult groups, hidden groups. This is really an astounding thing to see. Go ahead, Father Kramer.
Well, Bergoglio, Bergoglio is about as perverse as a human being can be. And he knows perfectly well that with the Vatican authorizing these blessings of perverted couples, that priests who refuse to impart these blessings, they may face action from civil authorities, be accused of hate crimes now.
I wouldn't put it past the mechanism of world control that would happen. Hate crimes. Hate. Anything they disagree with is now labeled hate. Wow. Sickening.
Yes, and this is, and of course, that's an entirely an ideological, propagandistic approach. Anyone who defends the Catholic faith against Bergoglio's perversity, Bergoglio responds by saying that these people are driven by ideology. It's Bergoglio himself who is the ideologue.
Oh, of course. Everything's reversed. It's all sickening. It's really transparent if you think clearly about it. It's not a big mystery. I get it.
Total inversion.
Yeah.
And of course, as any exorcist can tell you, inversion is the telltale sign manifesting the presence of the devil. Work of inversion is what is being done by Bergoglio and his Vatican.
Now, go ahead.
Now, priests, in the name of the Catholic teaching against Catholic doctrine, have refused to give these blessings, but they will be told, "No, the Catholic Church authorizes this. This is you. You're dissenting. You're the dissident against teaching the Church." The church teaching comes from the Vatican, not from you, little priest. So if you refuse to give these blessings, you're going to be hauled before the civil courts and the state courts and be accused of hate crimes because you refuse to you're against inclusivity. You're banning these people. You're making them feel hated by not blessing them. This is what they have in mind. This is the utter perversity of Jorge Bergoglio to introduce such a decree into the discipline of the Church, so that eventually. This is being done quite deliberately, so that eventually the state will enforce these rulings coming from the Vatican.
That's how perverse the Vatican has become.
That's how perverse they are. And that is why the bishops have to break away entirely from Vatican control. They've got to say, this Vatican under under Bergoglio, this is a rogue entity. This is not the Catholic Church.
Right.
As Archbishop Vigano said, it is a sect that occupies the Vatican. It is a sect. It is not the Catholic Church. And the Catholic bishops have to reclaim the church. They have to reclaim the leadership of the church. And they've got to say that those people in Rome, they are the heretics, they are the perverts, and they are not the leaders of the church. They have no moral authority, no legal authority over the Catholic Church. They have no teaching authority to define what is Catholic teaching, because they have inverted Catholic teaching. Catholic teaching cannot change. It is the apostolic tradition. But in Bergoglio's synod, you had a German bishop. I don't remember his name offhand at the moment. I mentioned it in a previous program. The German bishop who said, "We've got to do away with apostolic tradition, as if it's obsolete. There's no we have no use for that anymore." They're saying, "Well, how can we speak of Catholicism? How can we speak of being Christian even, if we don't follow the teaching of the apostles? That's where Christianity comes from, down to us, from the apostles. If we're going to throw out apostolic tradition, we're throwing out Christianity entirely."
Got it.
Why call it the Catholic Church? Throwing out apostolic tradition takes away any connection of the church with Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
It won't be a Christian church anymore.
No.
And Bergoglio, and the fact is, it's only camouflage, some window dressing in this sect that occupies the Vatican now. Because in truth, the counterfeit church that Bergoglio is setting up is not in any manner a Christian entity. It is not a Christian church.
Father Kramer, it seems to me that I hate to use these cliches, but the activist bishops, the bishops who are committed to sustaining the real church, must begin to act right away before the states, the various nation states, begin to further force Vatican dictate on the people, on the bishops. I mean, they could be charged with anything. I don't know how it'll work, but every country is different. The bishops need to have an international conference immediately, as soon as they can organize it, to plot out and to publicize their open rebellion to the fraud that is being perpetrated in the Vatican. They must make those statements, and they must go on record. That's my sense of things from where I sit. They need to have an international congress of bishops to make their position clear and to set out and to agree upon techniques of approaching and ultimately ousting the frauds in the Vatican, or there will be no church. Unless they do this, it's not it's up to them now, the bishops. I can see that.
Otherwise, what's left of the church will be hiding in the shadows, and
yeah,
you won't see it on public.
That's right. So I don't know if anyone's going to try to organize such an international congress, we'll call it, of bishops, but I think that needs to happen. And perhaps you and some of your colleagues and friends of the real church can make that happen. I'll be happy, again, like I said, to make myself available to offer you any public support I can. But this, I think this such a meeting is urgent.
I'm hoping that Archbishop Bergoglio will take some initiative in this direction. He has spoken very forcefully against Bergoglio.
Archbishop, you said Bergoglio twice. You meant Vigano?
Vigano, Archbishop, yes. Vigano. Archbishop Vigano. spoken very forcefully against Bergoglio.
Yes. He would be one of you, and he would be obvious leaders for such a Congress, calling for a Congress. I think this is critical before the intimidation of these bishops becomes overwhelming, overpowering. This is a turning point in world history, really, when you think about it, world societal history. So,
according to church doctrine, when the Pope is under suspicion of heresy, that justifies and makes it permissible for the church to convoke an ecumenical council. To deal with the question. An ecumenical council of bishops can lawfully decide and decree that Bergoglio is not the Pope, and they can then proceed to elect a true Pope.
Has to happen. I can't see any other way. This has to be the course.
This is explained by St. Robert Bellarmine, by St. Alphonsus Liguori, the two greatest doctors of the Church after the Council of Trent. And it is also explained by Pietro Ballerini, and based on the doctrine of Ballerini, the great jurist who wrote perhaps the most authoritative work on the authority of popes and councils. Pope Gregory the 16th himself explained that doctrine based on Ballerini. So you have even a pope explaining that this is what the church can do in this kind of situation. To convoke a council to take the reins of power away from this man and reestablish it in the hands of a legitimate pope.
I couldn't agree more. I hope this happens, and I hope it happens soon. Are you in touch with Archbishop Vigano very much? He's very busy, I know. Do you guys talk?
I have not been in touch with him. No.
Well, this needs to be promulgated and pushed around among the highest circles of people like that and yourself, and perhaps a joint statement must be issued with a number of bishops signing on and signing off on it, I would think.
Well, Bergoglio has given the bishops the incentive to do this now, because the Vatican is trying to force its hand, to force the bishops against their conscience.
No.
To force the bishops against the law of God to authorize in their diocese these blessings.
Well, I'm looking at the one picture right now of the guy. I don't know where he got this rainbow shawl, or what is more than that. It goes all the way down to the floor. It's something he put around his neck, and it's draped all the way down the front of his body to the floor. It's the rainbow flag, is what it is. And he's giving a bishop. He's giving a blessing to two women, married, so to speak, for 22 years. This is, if this isn't stopped now and stopped quickly, things are not going to get better at all. They're going to get worse. It's got to be dealt with. I'm just a layman. I'm not a member of any church. I can see the politics and the evil, which I hope all of you out there understand. This is really bad. And it's another appendage, another tentacle of the global elite. The perverted, pedophile, communist, Bolshevik global elite. And they're working through the church. They've taken it over in a de facto sense already.
And these people in the Vatican, they're bold-faced liars. They say you can't do it in such a way that it will confuse, it will cause confusion, make it can't be confused with marriage. That's baloney. 2021, they said these blessings cannot be done. The church cannot bless sin. But these cynical people in Rome, they already knew that they were going to reverse that because they're following their principle of, gradualism.
Got it.
And what gradualism intends to introduce is they want to have the full revolution, the full inversion of church teaching and church discipline. They want to have homosexual marriage.
Right. Right.
That's what it's leading to. To bring the church into conformity with the state, because you have in the Western countries now, they have what they call homosexual marriage, same-sex marriage,
right,
and they want to bring the church in line with that.
Well, the time is now. And I hope there's some organization that begins to manifest right away. And all bishops must be contacted. And if this has to be done with a Zoom or a Skype motif, let it. Just so they all get together. They all need to speak. And they must come up with a battle plan. And if it's already in the church literature, as you mentioned earlier, it is, those citations must be brought forward as the reason for such an ecumenical council or congress. I think you've got much more support out there than the average listener would even imagine. I don't know how it can't be. These people shouldn't roll over for this stuff. Well,
what holds them back is their reverence for the office of the Pope. And they don't seem to understand.
No, that we can't do that. That cannot happen.
The office is vacant. There is no Pope at the present time. The Pope died a year ago. Just over 1 year ago, the Pope died. There's been no Pope since the death of Pope Benedict XVI.
I agree.
There is this pagan, heathen, imposter who has taken the Pope's place.
You know what I wish? I wish that Pope Benedict had really left something, a legacy of truth that would have shaken the foundations of the church. He did leave a book, but it didn't. Maybe he was caught up in the same thing you're saying. Maybe he had reverence for the position of Pope and didn't. He could have torn it apart, but he didn't.
His theology was somewhat defective on these points. He was too much under the influence of the Second Vatican Council himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the revolution began with.
Mm-hmm. So where do we go from? How does this organization for this ecumenical council or congress of bishops, how does it get, who's going to do it? Father Kramer, I don't want to put any pressure on you. It's not my thing, but I'm looking at this, and somebody has to begin the process. Somebody's got to start putting out a stream of position papers, a call to arms, etc. It's got to happen now.
Yes. What needs to be pointed out is that it is impossible, it is morally impossible for Catholic priests, for Catholic bishops to submit, to be subject to this fake authority, this bogus authority, which is so contrary to God, contrary to Christ. It is so opposed to the law of God that we must reject it entirely. This leadership from the Vatican is so anti-Christian that it, how can we as Christians
right.
subject ourselves to an authority where that is anti-Christian? We can't. That's why we must reject it.
Right.
We have to reject it.
And that's an obscenity, the bishops, what's going on. Yes.
The bishops, many of the Catholics, there's, of course, going to be a division. There are those who will follow the evil, follow the devil, those who will follow Christ. But those who are of the Catholic faith, who believe in Jesus Christ, they now have the opportunity to see the undisguised evil coming from the Vatican, and that this is something essentially, virulently anti-Christian, and that they must reject it entirely. Maybe they haven't seen it so clearly before, but now they have the opportunity to open their eyes.
What's going on in the church is so, to me, so clearly, obviously, a globalist, Zionist, Bolshevik, communist plot to literally disenfranchise and remake the entire Roman Catholic Church. And all of you Catholics listening out there now, I don't think you approve of any of this. You know who Klaus Schwab is, all of you. You understand what the game is. You know where the money is usually where the power is. But in this case, you've got power through the bishops all around the world, power through the members of the church, 1.2 billion of them. They need to be educated and informed about this with no uncertain terms, no punches pulled. I just hope it happens. I really do. I'm sick of these globalists. Sick of them. They're evil.
Well, about 120 years ago, Pope Pius X, canonized saint of the church, warned against what they're doing now, that they're setting up a one-world church. And said this religion, this one-world religion, will be neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish. We see what it is. It is the religion of the United Nations Agenda 2030, and that is what is going to be imposed from Rome over
Precisely.
The counterfeit church.
Right. Precisely. All right. So, how do we get this? Will you be in touch with the Archbishop? Can you start something? Can you make this a cohesive effort? Who does it? Somebody's got to step forward and lead this, and it has to happen soon. Again, I'm just speaking as a private citizen here. I don't know the ins and outs, but
we need priests and bishops to work together for this.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. The world is being subverted in almost every quarter now. When you look, watch, and listen, you can see it. It runs everywhere, from simple civil society, what it used to be anyway, all the way to the papacy in Rome and every point in between. The world is being remade, reformatted. But the church is strong enough among its constituency to reject this, I would think. I think they can do it. But it's requiring leadership of and by the bishops to do this. And I hope they begin to stand up as one against this, or they will be serving Satan. That's where it's going.
And they've got to be impervious to whatever consequences.
That's right.
We'll attempt to mete out against them.
Correct. Yeah, I concur. We'll find out what these many of them are made of. They've got to stand tall and stand together, shoulder to shoulder. This cannot be allowed to continue anymore. Well, we're just about out of time. I look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks, Father Kramer. Maybe something will have gelled by then, or there's a plan, and I don't expect to be informed about something that's in the secret planning stages, but I do hope sincerely that something is going on right now. And for all of you Catholics out there, it's time to get off the fence and take a position on this. It has to happen. So, final comment, Father Kramer?
I can't say whether it will be, I hope it is this year, but I don't believe that we will be without a true pope much longer. We might not have a pope this year.
Mm-hmm.
We might not even have one next year. But by the year after that, we will definitely have a Catholic pope in office. I hope it doesn't take that long. But I don't think it will take more than a year. Much more, 12 or 13 months from now, I think we'll have a pope. I believe.
Time is of the essence. From my perspective, again, I'm not where you are, but we can't waste time on this. This has to begin now. We've got to make the movement strong, and we've got to encourage all the bishops to take a position. And if
Absolutely.
They're on the right side, they must push that. All right. Well, thank you again. This has been very interesting, Father Kramer. I you're greatly appreciated by a lot of listeners, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, very good. God bless.
Okay, same to you. All right, Father Paul Kramer. This is it. This is make or break. This is the end of the line for the Catholic Church to survive or to cave in to the most degenerate types imaginable. We will be back with you Monday. It's a weekend. I hope you have a good weekend. Do try to prepare. This is going to be a very difficult year. I know many of you have prepared, but we need to get everybody on board if that's possible. Thank you for being here. You are appreciated, and we will talk soon.